Welcome to the Divine Office Online with our online podcast. Just yesterday we had the incredible and very special memorial of St. Martin of Tours that we all viewed almost like a feast. Today we have another remarkable bishop. Only yesterday we had Bishop Martin of Tours, and now we have a much more recent saint, someone who was born around the year 1580, someone who, of course, would have died in the 1600s. Saint Jehoshaphat, and he was a Orthodox Christian when he was a young lad, but ultimately comes into a conviction about the papacy, and he becomes member of an Eastern communion, in communion with the Pope, and ultimately is chosen bishop after being a monk. So he was also a monk, just like the monastic father that we celebrated yesterday. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Let us begin with the invitatory. We're going to do morning prayer. I just felt like doing morning prayer, maybe because we needed to see some of the special prayers for the martyrs that the church uses that are only in morning prayer. Come, let us worship Christ, the King of Martyrs. The Lord's is the earth in its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is he who set it on the seas, on the waters he made it firm. This is Psalm 24 for our recollection / snapping you out of it, and the invitatory psalm. Come, let us worship Christ, the King of Martyrs. Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who has not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor. Come, let us worship Christ, the King of Martyrs. He shall receive blessings from the Lord, and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek him, seek the face of the God of Jacob. Come, let us worship Christ, the King of Martyrs. O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of Glory. Come, let us worship Christ, the King of Martyrs. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, the Mighty, the Valiant, the Lord, the Valiant in War. Come, let us worship Christ, the King of Martyrs. O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of Glory. Come, let us worship Christ, the King of Martyrs. Who is he, the King of Glory? He, the Lord of Armies, he is the King of Glory. Come, let us worship Christ, the King of Martyrs. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship Christ, the King of Martyrs. Hymn, Martyr of God, by holding fast to Christ, the Father's only Son, you triumph over vanquished foes, in victory finding heavenly joy. Grant us the favor of your prayer, and ease the burden of our guilt. Hold back the tide of wickedness, and drive away distaste for life. Now all your fetters are undone, the chains that bound your holy flesh. Free us from bondage to the world, for love of Christ, the Son of God. Praise to the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit, Paraclete, who crown you with a lasting crown in heaven's glorious court on high. Amen. And then we begin the part of the office, the psalmody, the psalms. There are usually three of them. I will sing to you, O Lord. I will learn from you the way of perfection. This is Psalm 101. My song is of mercy and justice. I sing to you, O Lord. I will walk in the way of perfection. O when, Lord, will you come? I will walk with blameless heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes whatever is base. I will sing to you, O Lord. I will learn from you the way of perfection. I will hate the ways of the wicked. They shall not be my friends. The false-hearted must keep far away, the wicked I disown. I will sing to you, O Lord, I will learn from you the way of perfection. The man who slanders his neighbor in secret, I will bring to silence. The man of proud looks and haughty heart, I will never endure. I will sing to you, O Lord. I will learn from you the way of perfection. I look to the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way of perfection shall be my friend. I will sing to you, O Lord. I will learn from you the way of perfection. No man who practices deceit shall live within my house. No man who utters lies shall stand before my eyes. I will sing to you, O Lord. I will learn from you the way of perfection. Morning by morning I will silence all the wicked in the land, uprooting from the city of the Lord all who do evil. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will sing to you, O Lord. I will learn from you the way of perfection. So that could have been a sacred moment of silence. That was a sacred moment of silence, but it could have been a time where you could have prayed a prayer modeled off of the Psalms, the sentiments, making them your own. Antiphon 2, Lord, do not withhold your compassion from us. And then we have a special canticle, not a psalm, but a canticle for morning prayer. This is the one that we do on Sundays and on big feasts. So this is an indication that the celebration of St. Jehoshaphat is being treated more like a feast. And it's no wonder, because St. Jehoshaphat is a great patron of Christian unity and a great hero, so we really need that Christian unity today. Blessed are you and praiseworthy, O Lord, the God of our fathers, and glorious forever is your name. For you are just in all you have done. All your deeds are faultless, all your ways right, and all your judgments proper. For we have sinned and transgressed by departing from you, and we have done every kind of evil. For your name's sake, do not deliver us up forever, or make void your covenant. Do not take away your mercy from us for the sake of Abraham, your beloved, Isaac, your servant, and Israel, your holy one, to whom you promised to multiply their offspring like the stars of heaven, or the sand on the shore of the sea. For we are reduced, O Lord, beyond any other nation, brought low everywhere in the world this day because of our sins. We have in our day no prince, prophet, or leader, no holocaust, sacrifice, oblation, or incense, no place to offer first fruits, to find favor with you. But with contrite heart and humble spirit, let us be received as though it were holocausts of rams and bullocks, or thousands of fat lambs. So let our sacrifice be in your presence today as we follow you unreservedly. For those who trust in you cannot be put to shame. And now we follow you with our whole heart. We fear you and we pray to you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, in these two beautiful scriptural prayers, you call us to seek purity in body, in life, in judgment, and you remind us that the Jewish people were called first, and we are now called to be your children, the children of Abraham. Grant that we may not set before our eyes anything that is base, any lewd content, any pornography, any maybe not necessarily pornography, but lewd content. Help that we may govern the apostolates and the societies we work over well. Grant that your people, surrounded on all sides by your protection, may follow you unreservedly. So again, let there be no compromise with the lewdness, the false idolatry, and the orgies of sin around us. Let us instead follow you unreservedly. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us in our weakness and our brokenness. Lord, do not withhold your compassion from us. And that actually wasn't the canticle from Daniel that I was thinking of for Sundays and feast days. It was one of the other canticles for morning prayer. O God, I will sing to you a new song. And this is a song, a psalm of victory and peace, prayer for victory and peace. Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my arms for battle, who prepares my hands for war. It is He, my love, my fortress. He is my stronghold, my savior, my shield, my place of refuge. He brings peoples under my rule. Lord, what is man that you care for him, mortal man that you keep him in mind? Man who is merely a breath, whose life fades like a passing shadow. O God, I will sing to you a new song. Lower your heavens and come down. Touch the mountains, wreathe them in smoke. Flash your lightnings, rout the foe. Shoot your arrows and put them to flight. O God, I will sing to you a new song. Reach down from heaven and save me. Draw me out from the mighty waters, from the hands of alien foes, whose mouths are filled with lies, whose hands are raised in perjury. O God, I will sing to you a new song. To you, O God, I will sing a new song. I will play on the 10-stringed harp. To you who give kings their victory, who set David your servant free. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. O God, I will sing to you a new song. You call us to mission in this beautiful world, Lord, and you gave your Son victory over death, the one you gave the grace and the seal of the Holy Spirit to, you directed and guided. Now direct us and guide us in our own mission as we battle evil in this world. O God, I will sing to you a new song. Normally, the proper readings are very short readings for morning prayer. This one is only two or three verses long from 2 Corinthians. However, I don't want to miss out on the longer reading that is going to be given in the book of Daniel in the proper for the office of reading. So we actually always have the option of exchanging the shorter reading for a longer reading from the office of readings. This is the reading from the book of the prophet Daniel, the king's golden statue and the three young men rescued from the furnace. Some of the Chaldeans came and accused the Jews to King Nebuchadnezzar. O king, live forever. O king, you issued a decree that everyone who heard the sound of the trumpet, the flute, the lute, the lyre, the harp, the psalmody, the bagpipe, and all other musical instruments should fall down and worship the golden statue. Whoever did not was to be cast into a white-hot furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have made administrators of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These men, O king, have paid no attention to you. They will not serve your God or worship the golden statue which you set up. Nebuchadnezzar's face became livid with utter rage against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times more than usual and had some of the strongest men in his army bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the white-hot furnace. They were bound and cast into the white-hot furnace with their coats, hats, shoes, and other garments, for the king's order was urgent. So huge a fire was kindled in the furnace that the flames devoured the men who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into it. But these three fell, bound into the midst of the white-hot furnace. They walked about in the flames, singing to God and blessing the Lord. King Nebuchadnezzar rose in haste and asked his nobles, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" "Assuredly, O king," they answered. But he replied, "I see 4 men, unfettered and unhurt, walking in the fire, and the 4th looks like a son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came to the opening of the white-hot furnace and called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Thereupon Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. When the satraps, prefects, governors, and nobles of the king came together, they saw that the fire had no power over the bodies of these men. Not a hair of their heads had been singed, nor were their garments altered. There was not even a smell of fire about them. Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to deliver the servants that trusted in him. They disobeyed the royal command and yielded their bodies rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree for all nations and peoples of every language that whoever blasphemes the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut to pieces and his house destroyed. For there is no other God who can rescue like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Responsory prayer. The angel of the Lord went down into the furnace with Azariah and his companions, and he drove the blazing flames out of the furnace. The fire did not even touch them or cause them any pain. Blessed be God who sent his angel to rescue the faithful servants who put their trust in him. The fire did not even touch them or cause them any pain. So on this beautiful day, this is a great reading, by the way, for St. Jehoshaphat, because St. Jehoshaphat is actually bore witness, just like these people in the furnace. He bore witness to God with the offering of his own life, and there was no angel to save him at that time. But we're going to read a little bit about him. You know, the office of morning prayer and evening prayer allows for a brief homily to be given. In place of brief homily, we will be reading the second reading for St. Jehoshaphat. In designing his church, God worked with such skill that in the fullness of time, it would resemble a single great family embracing all men. It can be identified, as we know, by certain distinctive characteristics, notably its universality and unity. Christ the Lord passed on to his apostles the task he had received from the Father. "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." He wanted the apostles as a body to be intimately bound together, first by the inner tie of the same faith and love which flows into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and second by the internal tie of authority exercised by one apostle over the others. For this he assigned the primacy to Peter, the source and visible basis of their unity for all time. So that the unity and agreement among them would endure, God wisely stamped them, one might say, with the mark of holiness and martyrdom. Both these distinctions fell to Jehoshaphat, Archbishop of Pulak of the Slavic Rite of the Eastern Church. He is rightly looked upon as the great glory and strength of the Eastern Rite Slavs. Few have brought them greater honor or contributed more to their spiritual welfare than Jehoshaphat, their pastor and apostle, especially when he gave his life as a martyr for the unity of the Church. He felt, in fact, that God had inspired him to restore worldwide unity to the Church, and he realized that his greatest chance of success lay in preserving the Slavic Rite and St. Basil's rule of monastic life within the one universal Church. Concerned mainly with seeing his own people reunited to the See of Peter, he brought out every available argument which would foster and maintain Church unity. His best arguments were drawn from liturgical books sanctioned by the Fathers of the Church, which were in common use among Eastern Christians, including the dissidents. Thus thoroughly prepared, he set out to restore the unity of the Church. A forceful man of fine sensibilities, he met with such success that his opponents dubbed him the Thief of Souls. And just to continue, the responsory prayer would have been, Jesus said, "Holy Father, protect those you have given me with the power of your name, that they may be perfectly one. then the world will know that it was you who sent me. The glory which you gave them I have given to them, that they may be perfectly one. Then the world will know that you have sent me." So again, that beautiful idea, the inspiration to restore worldwide unity, we can pray for that. You know, it's tough to be actually involved in reuniting the churches, which is called ecumenism, because it's very hard to get people out of their comfort zone, very, very difficult to get people to make the sacrifice of considering entering the Catholic Church. But the Church offers different things. It offers an Anglican rite for Anglicans. It offers Eastern rites. So the Church is not all about uniformity. The Church does actually not force people to all become Latin rite and follow strict sensibilities and strict rosaries and strict types of things that fall within Latin rite spirituality. Anyway, I ultimately think that the only thing that will really bring about Jehoshaphat's desire and reunite the Church is God's grace. Only the Holy Spirit can regather them together. And the most powerful thing that we can do, besides all the different things that are written in the blog posts and the things that we've tried to do when we were doing reuniting the churches, and besides being good at speaking to others about our faith, we're going to have to endure persecution. We're going to have to bear witness to Jesus Christ and to the unity of the Church and the formation and doctrine of the Church. And ultimately, I think only purification will purify and ultimately reunite the body of Christ among the Orthodox, the Protestants, and all the rest. We're going to have to go through a time, I hope not. I hope that God will just save us and God will do something extraordinary and miraculous to save us, but most likely we have to pass through that time of persecution and purification as a precursor. But who knows what God has in plan. But the persecution has a flip side. It reunites the Church. It helps the Church to see and go back to the basics and see what's really important. So that was my little commentary, my little living commentary on our readings for today and our celebration. Now, because this is morning prayer, we actually have a few more prayers, even though we usually end there. Let us see if we have the canticle from the Gospel of Luke, the canticle of Zechariah. "Whoever hates his life in this world keeps it safe for life everlasting. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from all our enemies, from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Whoever hates his life in this world keeps it safe for life everlasting." So that was like a psalm, same general and style as a psalm, but it's part of the New Testament. Now the intercessions, morning and evening prayer have intercessions, just like the Mass has the prayers of the faithful. So I call you to pray using these words. "Our Savior's faithfulness is mirrored in the fidelity of his witnesses who shed their blood for the word of God. Let us praise him in remembrance of them. The response for the second choir or those following is, you redeemed us by your blood. Your martyrs freely embraced death in bearing witness for the faith. Give us the true freedom of the Spirit, O Lord. You redeemed us by your blood is the response. Your martyrs profess their faith by shedding their blood. Give us a faith, O Lord, that is constant and pure. Response, you redeemed us by your blood. Your martyrs followed in your footsteps by carrying the cross. Help us to endure courageously the misfortunes of life. You redeemed us by your blood, O Lord. Your martyrs washed their garments in the blood of the Lamb. Help us to avoid the weaknesses of the flesh and worldly allurements. You redeemed us by your blood, O Lord. And for the final prayer, let us pray for all of your personal intentions. You redeemed us by your blood, O Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our final prayer. Lord, fill your church with the spirit that gave Saint Jehoshaphat courage to lay down his life for his people. By his prayers, may your spirit make us strong and willing to offer our lives for our brothers and sisters. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. End of the office proper. Remember to continue to ask for the special prayers of the church, like the plenary indulgence. So you should ask right after this office for having gone to the special prayer of the church and spent this time. You should definitely get a partial indulgence, if not a plenary indulgence. So remember to ask for that special blessing that the church, by virtue of being a community, offers. You just have to ask God for it. Ask for that, and maybe offer it for a relative or a soul in purgatory, because this is the month of November, a time where we kind of specially set aside time to remember to offer special prayers and works and sacrifices, but especially these community prayers for them. Thank you, and have a blessed and wonderful day on this celebration of Christian unity, celebration of Saint Jehoshaphat. Dana signing off.